Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
We have a bunch of assignments to look at. All of them were wonderful.
Love them all.
It makes for a
great weekend, doesn't it? To have it just goes right on, right?
It's not yes, it does.
No opportunity to just go unconscious and forget about everything, because there we have our assignment. It's very nice.
Yes. Well, so Friday's was all truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. The point is to discover them. Truth is an interesting notion, isn't it? We seem to lack evidence that there is any such thing as a truth that is true everywhere all the time. And yet, in any given moment, we might have an insight that shows us what is true for us right now. Set a timer three times today. When it goes off, drop this conversation and discover the truth of insight in the now. What does it feel like to be here, free of conditioned absolutes? To be followed up with, today, I bent the truth to be kind, and I have no regret. For I'm far sure of what is kind than I am of what is true. We can fall into the trap of choosing being right over being kind. In fact, it seems few people, given the choice, will choose kindness. The ego resistance to giving up a position is fierce. Today, let go the truth. Let go the truth of ego, the need to be right, as an act of kindness to yourself and to someone else. What does freedom to be kind feel like? Record and listen. And this was my favorite. To dare is to lose one's footing momentarily. To not dare is to lose oneself. Losing one's footing, even momentarily, challenges the ego illusion of control and makes ego extremely uncomfortable. What if you fall on your face? What if something bad happens? What will people say? Today, dare to do something that challenges ego identity. Read something that I disagrees with. Take a different route to work that I says is not efficient. Meditate in the morning and the afternoon, despite what ego wants. Make sure you bring a sense of humor to this practice of daring. Ego hates to be laughed at. Record and listen. All right.
Well, how
shall we hear
exciting
from
today. Yeah. Let's see what people saw.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Anne from New York.
Oh, hello, Anne. What have you been seeing?
Oh, a practice works.
Uh-huh. That's always a good thing to see, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just so many things. But I guess the thing that just dropped in this morning, I've been working a lot on my Instagram account, and I put up this quote about, there was a part of me that felt really connected with it, was be the person you needed when you were younger. And a part of me felt really connected with that, but then when I was actually focused and put attention on it, what I realized was I was the person I needed, and I was always looking outside for a person, but it was me I was needing.
Uh-huh. That's a very good point, isn't it? We get convinced to turn away from our own authenticity and to look outside of ourselves, and then it kind of takes us forever to get turned back around, doesn't it? And
yeah.
To realize that the authenticity is available to us in each moment. That's one of the things that I enjoy most about the mentor, is that it's such a great personification of that authenticity. So it makes the authenticity more available to us somehow, because it has a name and kind of a, in quotes, form. And we can recognize it as an entity.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what dropped in this morning. But what I've been wanting to call about something else that I've been pet sitting for friends of mine. And what I was seeing really was how they have dogs and cats. The dogs, when they bark, the human reaction is to say, be quiet. And I was really looking at that as I'm sitting here taking care of these animals, thinking, is that the thing to say? Because they're just being dogs.
Yeah. Well, where that comes back to me is our relationship with ego.
Yes, and therefore that's led to yes.
Right. That's the struggle, isn't it? Or
yes.
That's the challenge, or however we want to talk about it. Where is this coming from? Is this coming from center, or is this coming from ego? Because it's not that we want to endorse every ego expression that comes along, certainly not. So, yeah, is there a time when it's appropriate, and is there a time when it's not appropriate?
Hmm. Oh.
So, for instance, before we move on from the world of canines, with my little dog, the only thing I wanted was for her not to bark when it was unnecessary, when she was just doing it out of whatever, but to bark when it was important, because that's kind of her job. My job was to feed her and make sure her needs were met, and her job was to let me know when there was something going on that needed my attention. So that was a good arrangement. But to have a dog that just barked all the time, oh, no.
No. Yeah.
So. All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much. And just all of this is such an amazing journey. And every day just strengthens everything. So thanks for offering it. And thanks for showing up and everyone showing up, including me.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, exactly. Thanks to all of us. Thanks to all of us.
Yes.
It worked.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne.
Bye-bye. Oh, go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Go happy. Thank you. And that's what it comes down to, I guess, right, Cherry? It's that in the moment, what is appropriate? And life is always appropriate.
Yes. Yes, precisely. So to have any kind of an idea about how anything should be is going to take us off down a track that we really don't want to go down.
Mm-hmm. And it is the only thing that causes us not to be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we need to be trained, not just the dogs, but us too, and our wandering attention.
Yes. Yes, and in fact, as you know, that's an image that people use often for training the attention. It's like a puppy. You mm-hmm. want it to want to stay with you because that's where it's safe. And that takes us attending as it learns to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So it works well for everybody.
Yes. Create safety for all. Well, here's our next caller.
Yes.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island in Puget Sound in Washington.
Well, hello, Jennifer.
Hello there. I was just pondering how it's a whole different level of participation when you just always put yourself in the queue.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
It's a, hello, life, I'm available.
Uh-oh, conditioning. Yeah. Well, the one I was thinking about was the truth of now, and it came to this thing that I find myself having internal discussions far too often about, and that is, what is this life that everybody's talking about? It almost sounds like it's a personification, but then, on the other hand, I know exactly what's being talked about, and so there's really no need to have a conversation about it, and And what I noticed dropping in, my favorite one that dropped in for my truth on this one exercise was that all is well.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of shocked.
Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh.
And yet, when you consider it for even a moment, mm-hmm. you realize, well, that is true.
I
do know that that's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So many of those things, it seems to me, and that I think this is what you're pointing at, is that we can, in quotes, know it, but if we try to talk about it, we're just going to step off into places that we would have to say, well, that's not it. No, mm-hmm. no that's not it either. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's, for me, that's the reason that I prefer using something. People will say the universe and we'll tend to say life, because God has so many notions attached that it's
exactly.
almost impossible for people who have grown up in a world where God is God
right.
to have a fresh viewpoint on the subject.
Right, yes. And even the universe mm-hmm. has gotten to be have all these connotations now, too. So
Yeah. And life will at some point, and then we'll just come up, you know, we'll go to something like all that is or the allness that is or, you know, these kinds of things that, again, we just keep trying to get to some sort of language that will enable us to have a fresh perception.
Yeah.
And of course, thank God, what we're moving toward is we don't need any of that, right?
Right?
We just have that sense that we know if we put it into words, that's not it.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But the sense, the increasing, you know, this project joy every day thing, boy, does that ramp up the number of instances of experiencing the present
yes.
and being in life, and they're just piling up.
Yes. Yes,
great.
Just more and more and more and more. So my teacher used to say, the mind will accept what is real to it, which, you know, was always a little baffling to me, and mm-hmm. still is, actually. But I think that's what he was pointing at, that when we're not doing something like this, and maybe we have something that brings us to an awareness of practice, you know, 4 or 5 times a week,
mm-hmm.
then that's one experience. And it's such a drop in the ocean compared to the moments where conditioning is holding forth.
Right.
But when we start doing this, we add this now every day on top mm-hmm. of everything else we do, and that starts becoming our reality. So
yes.
conditioning has us, because the habit of attention is to go to conditioning. But what we're training ourselves to is a habit of attention going to presence. And
right.
it does it just happily, you know, like the little puppy coming after the treats, you know. It just it just wants to be there. Why not? Right? Because
yeah.
we weren't asking anything of it before. And now we are, and it's responding.
Yeah, now we're opening the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So amazing.
Very fun.
Thank you.
It is. And so much of somebody just wrote into the email class something along the lines of actually getting it, that practice isn't a struggle. You know, that first glimmer of, I can see how this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. And once we open that door, you know, step into that reality, everything changes. Because now we're constantly, we want to be here. We want to be
right.
looking. We know what it is that is possible for us, and we prefer that to the suffering that ego offers.
That's it. Yeah, that's knowing the possibility of it. That's the...
Yeah.
That's a huge opening for me is, oh, wait, it's possible. Okay, that
yeah.
makes everything different.
Yes, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ashwini has been on this, how divine is this?
right.
Kick, you know? And mm-hmm. And that's it. We know it's here. Now, I'm not having the experience. okay, well, where is it?
And where is it? Because it's here.
It's here. I wasn't. Now I am. And I'm going to have the experience. So, yeah. So
well,
good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
All of you for this. All right. Bye.
Mm, such a joy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jennifer. And it really is that simple, right, Sherry, that it's not wanting the experience that is there that makes me unavailable for the experience.
Yes. Oh, and if you had finished that sentence, that makes me unavailable for the experience that's here, right?
Yes.
Because, yeah, that's where what you meant. That when we look at it from conditioned mind, we don't want the experience that's there in the moment. But when
yes.
we're looking at it from the perspective of presence, we want the experience that's here.
Yes,
ooh, that's
because
good,
that's
huh?
why it's not divine. That's the place of segregating divinity, right? This
yes.
is not divine.
Yes. Yeah. I don't like this experience. It must not be divine.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think the peace quote from this morning, right? Give up the illusion of control because there isn't any. Life has it anyway, and you're just simply telling the story of how it doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this information seems to be everywhere, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're not the only ones catching on to this miracle.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello?
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 Hi, this is Andrea calling in Durham.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. Boy, I'm really surprised to be on. I put myself in the queue also just because I thought I wanted to connect, so it's been a while.
Uh-huh. Well, good, and it worked. We're connected.
Yeah. I'm actually taking the day off, and I'm looking out my window and looking at beautiful pine trees and other trees. So that's what I'm doing and listening to this show.
And isn't that, looking at those trees, isn't that a quick trip to here?
Yeah. This morning, since I had the day off, I did everything to take care of myself. And definitely, I'm watching ego right now, basically. What I'm noticing is that ego is trying to take me away and basically thrust me back into urgency. And what I did this morning is I was told I didn't get up early enough, even though it was my day off, and I repeated to myself, drop the urgency. And I'm just
uh-huh.
watching that process going back
uh-huh.
and forth.
Yeah, so there's a gal in the Sangha who came up with this thing for herself. She said, I've realized urgency is not my friend.
Wow.
And that's her little mantra now when that starts up. Urgency is not my friend. And it gives it a perspective, right? That so why would I want somebody around who is not friendly to me?
Yeah.
And so with the ones we've been looking at, you can certainly in good conscience trade the truth of what time we should get up, truth in quotes, for kindness, right?
Right.
You're not going with that, the importance of rising early. You're being kind to a human being.
Yeah, I really like the kindness assignments, and I think the one today to kind of enjoy those little moments of life by yourself and with someone else, so definitely
mm-hmm.
looking at that.
uh-huh, yeah, yes, exactly so. And you have the company of trees. which is...
I have the company of trees, and I have the company of my husband. He's off, so we're going to go after this show. We're going out to lunch, and we'll sit somewhere outside.
Oh, lovely. Yes, yes. Gorgeous. All right. Well, that's nice to be able to picture you two there with the trees and the beautiful North Carolina weather and enjoying spring.
Yes, and the gardening. I'm obsessed about gardening, so just watching all the plants come up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I don't have to say have fun or enjoy because I know you will. So there. There we are.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea.
They're going to go happy.
I know, and the kindness of trees, I just love that. It's such a truth for me that trees are, yes, my mentor is a tree or has a form of a tree.
Uh-huh. They are kind of the embodiment of kindness, loving kindness, aren't they?
Yes, unbelievably so.
So giving.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of so many flavors. You know, tall strength of the pine tree and the absolutely exquisite and tender blossom of a magnolia. You know, it's just there's just so many flavors of mentors.
Just like people.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Renee in Wyoming.
Hey, Renee. Hello, Renee. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah,
good.
I was looking at all three quotes over the weekend, and the one for yesterday, the daring, I was looking at fear, and because there's been a lot coming up for me around with fear, and to dare to not engage in that conversation was what dropped in. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
'Cause the illusion is it keeps me safe, but it doesn't.
Yes, and I'm mentally and emotionally and spiritually applauding you because that is a truly gutsy step. It doesn't seem like it, right? So if you're worried, to stop worrying, that seems like a really good, smart thing to do, right? But it's terrifying because there's such a deep belief that worrying about things is what keeps me safe.
Yes, and it's stories that are made up. So it also relates to the truth quotes too, because the fear is coming from stories that are not true, and that are trying to terrify me. And then if I drop it, then I'm terrified also. But I also have a feeling of when I drop it of peace and well-being. So I do see that. I do have that feeling when I just drop into that place of not having that going on, you know, those conversations.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a dread of not being in the conversation, right? But as soon as you're not in the conversation, then you realize, oh, this is really peaceful. Yeah. So it's kind of walking through that door, right? It's getting past that barrier of, oh, God, something's going to happen if you don't. And then you realize, well, actually nothing happened except I feel a lot better.
Right. Right. Exactly. And that just this morning it happened and I woke up with a lot of fear and the stories were just going. And then I just thought, just listening to things this morning, trying to get centered, and I just dropped back into no conversation, and everything was fine. Like there's a huge sense of well-being. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to go in late to work, and I'm going to call in, and I'm just going to make the whole morning a practice morning to support staying out of the conversation.
Good for you. Good for you. We have to prioritize it, don't we? Because it's never going to happen for us in the midst of the insanity that conditioned mind is in control of. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not just us, it's everybody else. So, you know, you get out into the world And it's just a giant fear whatever generator, right? So everybody's worried, everybody's anxious, everybody's driven, urgent, and it's really difficult to stay free of that in the midst of it.
That's an understatement, I would say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and so to give yourself the extra time, and of course the voices are just, I can imagine, just shrieking, right? Because you should have gone into work. You really should have.
Yes.
In fact, you should have, Andrea, you should have gotten up earlier and gone in earlier, right? Not go in late. And yet going in late is the most intelligent thing we can do for ourselves. Not to mention Kai.
Yeah, and while I was in the queue, you know, it must have been life's wisdom on me being towards the end of the call because, you know, it kept saying, get out of the queue, get out of the queue, you know, and not for no, I mean, I don't, you know, just the fear was the fear was the fear, you know, like it wasn't, there was no reason to get out of the queue. And then, but as I kept stayed in it and just listened to everyone, I got back to center again, you know, so it was just, it's like a practice over and over again of, so it is the stuff, like the grist for the mill, that you can use to get back to center, you know. And I heard that just the other day, I think, from someone where, you know, it would be grateful for the opponent in terms of being able to get back here because it's definitely worthy.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly. Right. And with something like fear, from the little twinges of anxiety to full-blown panic attacks, right, there's ego doing its best to control us. And so to realize what you've realized is so huge. It doesn't help me. It is the problem. If I'm going to take the best care of myself I can, I need to be here. I need to be in what is unfolding in life in this moment, not caught up in some horror story of something that's not going on. That's just huge.
Yes.
And to realize that, and when I get here, as soon as I get past that dread of not worrying and I'm here, there's peace. I feel better.
Yes. And then when I just
that's
told
kind
you
of the whole deal.
It is. And the terror of being present, I'm just seeing this, the quality of that is different than the quality of being terrorized by the voices.
Yes.
You know, of letting go of the conversation is one kind of, it's ego's fear, and then it goes away. And so
it goes away, and then you're here.
Choosing that. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, you're choosing life's wisdom over ego's control. I mean, that's really what the choice is.
Yeah. Wow.
And the one feels good, and the other feels awful.
Yeah.
So having seen that, the choice is a lot easier, right? Because you know
what
what's screaming in terror is ego. So get out of the queue, get out of the queue, get out of the queue. No.
Oh, that's helpful.
Staying in the queue is what takes care of me. Getting out of the queue takes care of you. I'm not taking care of you any longer.
Yeah. That's really helpful. I can remember that when, I'm choosing to be here and something's going on and I want to go back to that comfortable, familiar place, I can go, no, this is
nope, that's
uncomfortable
ego.
Right
nope.
Now, but it's going to get more comfortable. Yeah.
That's right. Dread is very, of a very short duration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's awesome.
And it'll get shorter. It'll get shorter as you practice.
Uh-huh.
This is good. Glad you didn't go into work.
Me too.
Good choice. Yeah.
Definitely a good choice.
All right. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Renee. That conversation reminds me of that image we often use, Rajeri, which is standing at the edge of the lake, knowing that the first plunge is going to be invigorating and dreading it, and then getting into the lake and practicing being able to go through that motion over and over again till we get past the dread, that experience, the abyss between
the abyss of ego's discomfort that we have to cross before we enjoy the experience of the vitality of being alive, which is the intensity
yes.
of living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what ego is working around the clock to keep us from knowing, to keep us from experiencing.
Yes.
That as soon as we get here, we're fully alive. It's peaceful and exciting. It's everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as if there's a numbness that it wants us to cultivate, and the,
yes.
that the experience of vitality is something that we cannot stand. And
yes.
so it's to get over the shock of going from numb to alive.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Ego wants us to have that, to prefer that flatline experience, because that's what's happening, is it's sucking the life force out of us. Right? And as soon as we step into that vitality, we're feeling that, because the life force is back to us. And
mm-hmm.
ego
and often
is out of luck.
And it's often a physical experience. It's the
yes.
it's an increase in awareness. It's heat.
Yes.
It's turbulence. And that is supposed
yeah.
to be something we have to brace against. But that's what feeling life feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I think about John Muir. Right, we started off with pine trees up in the top of a tall tree in a thunderstorm. You know, that tree is just waving back and forth, and he's riding the top of that tree. Talk about fully alive.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it can feel like, to be just completely plugged into life, nothing being siphoned off for ego. And it's not frightening. It's thrilling.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah.
So here's our next quote for the day: the best portion of a good person's life, those little nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love.
Mm. Mm. Could you read that again? Because that is that is powerful. The best portion
mm-hmm. of a good person's life, those little nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love.
Mm.
The voices of conditioning would have us remember only that which is difficult, painful, and disappointing. Are there actually more of these than little nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love? Extremely doubtful, though the voices would wish us to believe this is so. Today, let yourself have and relish two of those little acts, one for you and one for someone else. Record and listen.
That is so big, isn't it? That
mm-hmm.
that's the whole deal right there in that little quote. That's beautiful. What an exciting day.
Yeah, I know.
If we are what is it? High Western Achievers that Ram Dass accuses us of. We could go for
mm-hmm.
three or four of those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Why
yeah.
limit ourselves to
two? We're not limited to two. No.
No.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, everybody.